This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten. The 2016 remake of the 1977 miniseries about slavery, Roots, took pains to accurately depict the lives of enslaved people in the United States, and a UT Austin history professor helped in that effort. Dr. Dinah Ramey Berry read the scripts, asking and answering questions about the history depicted. She talked to the directors of the series episodes, and she was on the set for filming in Louisiana. Berry says the production wanted accuracy in everything from word choices to cloth used in costumes to the breed of horse shown. Berry told me recently that kind of information and interest has not always been evident in portrayals of slavery.
If you think about when Gone with the Wind was first produced, you know, that was a long time ago, and they didn't have the level of research. That was 75 years ago, I think, or 76 years ago. And if you think about it in the historical context of that time period, I'm not surprised at some of the ways in which Gone with the Wind portrayed slavery. That was very common for that historical moment. And I think we're just in a much different historical moment now.
Tell us about your research and your scholarship. What are the areas that you have spent your time and work on?
So I've essentially been a scholar of slavery for my entire career. And I've been teaching for almost 20 years now. My research looks at the internal lives of enslaved people. I'm interested in gender and slave labor. And most recently, I'm interested in the economy of slavery and what it means to treat people as commodities. So what does it mean to put a price tag on a person's body? And how do those people, those individuals respond?
What are you finding?
I'm finding that enslaved people knew a lot about the external values that were placed upon their bodies, and they responded to it in ways that they tried to either manipulate various sales. They would try to talk about themselves as not being as healthy or not being as strong as maybe the auctioneer is claiming them to be. They would literally disrupt their sales. They also tried to, if they were had the ability to purchase themselves, which was very rare, but you do have some instances where they were, they understood how much money they needed to raise or try to get their hands on in order to buy themselves into freedom.
I'm guessing that the assumption before much work or much investigation had been done was that slaves were not very active participants or didn't think about that bigger picture. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes, it is. And a lot of the scholars that wrote about the early history of slavery and slave trading would sort of talk about them as being socially dead. You know, that they had gone through a state of melancholy that was post-traumatic stress, depression, that they were just kind of going through the motion. Now we're starting to understand that there was day-to-day resistance. We know this, and this is not something we just discovered in the last 10 years. This is maybe 30 or 40 years of understanding. And now we're seeing individual acts, collective acts, large-scale rebellions, small acts like poisoning or arson or breaking tools or pretending like they don't know how to work a piece of farm equipment. All of those different aspects were present.
Why did you choose slavery as the focus of your work?
I actually chose it because I hated talking about it as a kid. I had learned a lot about it from my family, and I was, you know, okay talking about it. But when I was in school, I felt like I was sort of singled out, and people would sort of look at me as if I had experienced slavery. And I thought, well, I don't really know much about it except for what my parents have taught me about it and my family has taught me. And so I didn't want to have shame about the history. And so I thought, well, I want to study it more to learn more. And what I found was I found hope, I found passion, I found strength, I found resilience, and I found so much about individual enslaved people's lives that it was actually encouraging.
How can it impact and change us as a society in 2016 to have better and more thorough and more detailed scholarship and research and understanding of the lives of slaves in the United States?
Well, one, I think it will allow us to understand an aspect of history that had not always been a part of the history books. You know, they might be enslaved, but they were whole people, and they had feelings, and they had ups and downs, they had cares, they had love, they had pain, you know. And to look at them as whole people really expands, I think, the conversations that we're having today about our contemporary race relations, which are often difficult conversations to have.
I have said the word slave and slave several times, and you say enslaved people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are different.
Yes, yes.
And I'm wondering if that's intentional.
Yes, that's so funny. Yes, it is. I don't like to use the term slave, and it's in the historical record, but I like to refer to them as enslaved people because I think about them as individuals. I want to emphasize what was done to them. They were enslaved. For me, if I say slave, I'm saying that they've accepted that. And we don't really have evidence of that. I mean, some did. Some just sort of went along, as I described, those that experienced social death. But enslavement was put upon them. I like to say people because I think people forget that they are people. They think of them as these machines that worked. And there's even records that talk about enslaved people as being human hoeing machines because they were just working with the hoe so fast and in the fields for, you know, 12 to 15 hours a day that they didn't even see them as human beings.
Dr. Dinah Ramey Berry is an associate professor at UT Austin in the Department of History and the Department of African and African Diaspora Studies. And Dinah, we thank you so much for your time and your discussion today.
It's a pleasure to be here.